We have three scriptures today, and the first comes from Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And turning to the first chapter of Matthew, verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then reading from John 14, verses 1 through 7. And Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Amen.
Lord, we just come into your loving presence this beautiful winter day. We come to praise you, to learn more about you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I believe I heard my father say those words at the beginning of virtually every sermon he preached for about 45 years of his ministry. I did not plan that that was a part of that scripture reading, so... We're here to begin the Advent season, the start of a new liturgical year. And Susan and I will be sharing the message through Advent, and thank you for the opportunity to do that, to be a part of this joyous season with you. While Susan and I were traveling on our fall trip, 6,600 miles of driving, you have a lot of windshield time, as they say. I figured that's about well over 100 hours of driving time. So we had a chance to say, what should be our theme for Christmas? And so we bantered about a bunch of things. And the great passage from Isaiah that we already shared came to mind. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So we have four things there that we can deal with. We have four Sundays of Advent. Hey, this works very well. So today we'll focus on Wonderful Counselor. And we'll run through these. Thanks to Mary for putting up the reminders here, notes on the walls of what we're going to be talking about here. I realized a few weeks ago as I was putting this together that I tend to fall back into my academic background. I had a handout the last time, and I have a handout another again today. Victor, does that sound right? Academics, we got to have that. So take a look at the handout today, if you would. It's the one that includes the many titles, names and titles of Christ. And Susan ran across this a few years ago and shared it with me, and we may have shared this at some point. You can use this as your study guide, and all of this will be on the quiz. And this will be 30% of your grade. But as I ran across this again, I thought, well, this, we're not going to go through every one of these, not today or Advent. We're only going to focus on four. But since we're talking about Wonderful Counselor today, you can kind of look through here and see which of these names and titles seem to fit the Wonderful Counselor role that we attribute to Jesus and we're looking at. And as you take this home, you can use this to look at the other themes that we'll be talking about through Advent. For me, the ones that seem to fit to some extent of a Wonderful Counselor would be an advocate, arm of the Lord, bread of life, bright and morning star, carpenter, chief cornerstone, chief shepherd. Hence, I picked the picture for the cover of your bulletin today. I really love that shepherd image. Consolation of Israel, the door, faithful witness, forerunner, good shepherd again. A counselor would provide us with an image of God, Lamb of God, leader, light of the world, living bread, man of sorrows, messenger of the covenant. Those are just rabbi, rock, sure foundation, true light, truth, wisdom of God. So you can look through there and see if there are some that you feel might also fit that Wonderful Counselor role. As we travel through the stages of our life, there are times when we need a Wonderful Counselor. Sometimes we need the Good Shepherd to guide and protect us. Sometimes we need a rabbi to provide good counsel. Sometimes we need the light of the world in the midst of darkness. Sometimes we need a sure foundation when our world seems to be crumbling around us. Sometimes we need a carpenter to help us build our life. Sometimes we need living bread to feed us on the Word of God. Sometimes we need a messenger of the covenant to remind us that we belong to God. And sometimes we need a leader to keep us on the path. We need a wonderful counselor. I worked for 4 years at a Catholic college in Illinois, College of St. Francis, and my supervisor was Jack Gallagher, good Catholic, and he often used the word rabbi. And I thought, well, that's an interesting term for this Catholic gentleman to be using. But he used rabbi used it to describe who is the person who helps guide you, who helps give you counsel. And in many ways, he was using that in the professional way, who was helping us guide our lives in our professional lives. That's easy to see also, who is your rabbi in helping guide you in your spiritual life? Who is the counselor that helps guide you in that spiritual part of your life? So who do you turn to for counsel? Is it someone that you turn to when you're seeking guidance for your professional life? My son-in-law is in the Air Force, and he very consciously selects people who he thinks, this person could really counsel me in helping me guide my professional life. Is there someone that you turn to help guide your spiritual life, your emotional life, your physical life? You may have the trainer at your gym that helps you with that. Bob has his helper who helps him keep his motorcycles running. His mechanical counselor. So who is your rabbi? Who do you trust to give you good counsel? Who do you turn to when you need a good shepherd? Who or what do you turn to or follow to keep you on the path of Christ? There are a lot of people who are lost. As Susan and I say to one another, there is a lot of pain out there. There are a lot of folks who need good counsel. If we're lucky, they discover that Christ can be the wonderful counselor. We're all invited to follow Jesus and to live a life in Christ. And we're called to be disciples in telling others about the good news of Jesus Christ and what a good counselor he can be for us. We may be fortunate to have a brother or sister in Christ that we meet who serves as a rabbi, a spiritual director or partner and confidant, someone we trust to help lead us. We always have Jesus as our wonderful counselor. If we're to deepen our relationship with our heavenly wonderful counselor, we need to spend time nurturing that relationship. It can be time spent in prayer, sharing with God our concerns, our dreams, our worries, our thoughts about the future, our thoughts about our gifts and how and where we might use those gifts. Although God already knows all these things about us, our wonderful counselor is there to help us discover what we are all about. We benefit from our relationship with God when we listen. I was reminded of Dana Keener's suggestion a few weeks ago. When we spend a few minutes each day listening to our wonderful counselor, her suggestion, we spend a weekend, a month, was it that? A day, a month? Whatever. A weekend, a year, yeah. A day, a month in silence to listen. And a weekend, a year to spend time listening to the guidance of the wonderful counselor that is available to us. Our relationship with our wonderful counselor is strengthened when we take advantage of study, when we take time to read the scriptures that are filled with the great guidance of Christ. The Bible is the ultimate how-to book. It is not a self-help book. It is a God-help book. And I think the other one that can really help us strengthen that relationship and study is when we have discovered those other writers that help us understand the guidance that is available to us through the scriptures. Those writers, you know, our adopted associate pastor, Steve Garness Holmes, whoever that person is for you whose writings you happen to turn to that really help you, help guide your life. The scriptures remind us that we need to use discernment in what we read and who we seek counsel from when we strive to live as Christ calls us to live. The scripture from Romans 16 reminds us to beware where we seek counsel. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep an eye on those who cause dissensions and offenses in opposition to the teaching that you have learned. Avoid them. For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. Teaching that you have learned by their own appetites and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the simple-minded. For while your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, I want you to be wise in what is good and guileless in what is evil. The God of peace will shortly crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And I always like to read what Eugene Peterson, his translation. So these are his words of this same passage, and he puts it into more modern language. One final word of counsel, friends. Keep a sharp eye out for those who take bits and pieces of the teaching that you learned and then use them to make trouble. Give these people a wide berth. They have no intention of living for our Master Christ. They're only in this for what they can get out of it and aren't above using pious sweet talk to dupe unsuspecting innocents. And so while there has never been any question about your honesty in these manners, I couldn't be more proud of you. I want you also to be smart, making sure every good thing is the real thing. Don't be gullible in regard to smooth-talking evil. Whew. Stay alert like this, and before you know it, the God of peace will come down on Satan with both feet, stomping him into the dirt. Enjoy the best of Jesus. Our relationship with our wonderful counselor is strengthened when we let God be the good shepherd and we follow his word and his guidance. When we trust his counsel, when we accept his love and support, when we walk with him. I mentioned earlier Steve Garness Holmes. These are his words from John 10. And he reflects on the passage, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." Steve says, "Grace and peace to you. Follow the voice that knows you. Ignore the voices of expectation that try to fit you to their liking. The beloved doesn't demand but accompanies, shares your burden, leads you to green pastures, restores your soul. The beloved walks with you even through darkest valleys toward richer love, deeper life. Ignore the voices of despair or fear, voices of blame or bitterness that can only defend you by hurting others. Follow the voice that draws you more clearly to who you are created to be, the voice that is life-giving. Follow the voice that offers love, joy, peace. You remember these, you've heard these. Follow the voice that offers love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Stop and listen. Be silent and listen in long stillness. Wait with all the voices for the one who stays with you. Sit with it and then follow. Deep blessings, Pastor Steve. As we begin this season of Advent, I invite you to consider your relationship with Jesus as wonderful counselor. He never misses an appointment. He is on call 24/7. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. He knows us better than we know ourselves. His wisdom is freely shared. His guidance is sure. Even if we say, "Are you sure this is what you are leading me to do?" Have you ever said that to God? "Are you sure this is what you want me to do?" His guidance is sure. He treasures our gifts and talents and calls us to use these gifts to further his kingdom. He is an amazing listener. God is so patient with us as we ramble around with our prayers. He knows us. His love is everlasting. He accepts our weaknesses. He forgives us when we wander. Our sins are forgiven. I was thinking, when we confess our sins, Jesus, a wonderful counselor, never says, "You what?" He knows our sorrows, for he has walked in our shoes. He grieves when we grieve. He celebrates when we celebrate. And I think he celebrates our victories even when we don't recognize that we might have done something good. He encourages us in the best of times and in the worst of times, and even in the ordinary times. I love that season of the liturgical year known as the ordinary time. It's a good part of the liturgical year. God is with us in the ordinary times. He takes great delight in each of us all the time. As Dana reminded us, God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. He accompanies us on our journey. He loves us just as we are. Just as we are. He understands when we get so angry that we cannot see grace. I read that or heard that and saw it in a movie. "I am so angry I cannot see grace." Has that ever happened? Oof. Our wonderful counselor is there covering us with his grace, even when we are so angry we cannot see it. He is truly a wonderful counselor. After all, he is God. All we need to do is believe and listen and trust and follow and obey and serve him. All we are asked to do is give him our life. All thanks, Almighty God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, come to be our wonderful counselor. Amen.